Happy Wednesday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on early break. The forecast indicates more happiness is coming for Bill. We pointed out this morning it could be a low of 18, Sip, on Monday.
Jeez.
Yeah. During the half-Z run, jeez. Sunday, we're going to have people in the 20s with 20-mile-per-hour wind gusts during the race. This winter is here, Bill. Congrats. You made it. He's off the microphone.
You were still playing music,
so I thought. Sounds good.
I didn't know it was official yet.
Music still goes throughout the open, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Bill's happy.
Yeah.
Cold.
You got a nice winter coat.
I don't wear a winter coat.
Okay, now, hold on now.
I don't even own one.
I've never seen you wear one.
I don't wear a coat.
That's his coat, the sweatshirt.
That's it. This is, I wear the
hoodie. Yeah.
When you shovel?
What's that? Oh, when I go, when it's time to get out there with the snow and the snow.
You don't shovel, though, right?
What's that? I have a snow blower.
I forgot where you live.
Oh, yeah. Don't even start with me getting your lawn mowed. Yeah, I mow my lawn. Yeah. Me and Jake mow our lawns. You have someone deliver a steak dinner. I'm going to mow your lawn, and I'll bring you a steak dinner over. So don't even start with this north side, south side. Don't even start with it.
This way, you can't fly with this time.
Oh, you want to go? You want to dance? Yeah. Mud everywhere at our house.
I proudly mow the yard. I like to mow the yard.
I mow my yard.
Your
fuel
state.
It up, yes.
It's a form of exercise. It's a form of, you know, getting something done. Same also, it's shoveling the driveway.
When I looked at it the other day, I was like, I was so happy. I was like, look at this.
But you don't wear a coat. That's interesting.
No, don't wear a coat.
Why is that exactly?
I never wear a coat. So you'll see me come in here in January, whatever, and this is what I'll have on.
I know. I've noticed.
Yes. And so, yes.
It's interesting. I have that coat back there. I'm going to go get the buttons put on. There's no buttons on.
What happened to the buttons?
How'd you lose
off?
All the buttons? I've never heard of that.
All three buttons.
I've never heard of that ever happening. I've heard of one button leaving, but never all three.
You could do some tearaways or what? What happened?
The idea is go to Williams Cleaners over by your campus, and they will put buttons on, I assume.
Don't know that. The cleaners will put a button on?
Why would the cleaners do that?
Yeah, I'm very confused on this.
A seamstress. Gary Michaels or an M Suits possibly would do something.
I'm sorry?
I would think Gary Michaels Clothiers or M Suits would maybe do something like that.
M Suits.
Those are clothing stores in town.
I wonder if Nate would actually do it.
Nate probably would.
I bet Nate would do it by hand. I bet Nate would. Nate has taken over Gary Michaels and is just absolutely killing it.
For a price.
He is.
Yes, pay for that.
I'm sure there's a price. Usually when you buy something, there's usually a price. I don't know if they hand it over for free, but if you want to see a spirit animal in the clothing industry, it's Nate.
Nate.
Yes.
He's a good guy.
Does an unbelievable job right there. I go in there. I find reasons to go in there, and I don't need anything. Just to see Nate.
That coat isn't going into Gary Michaels. They will not.
Nate would understand. He's very understandable.
I have to find somewhere on the north side, I'm afraid. Williams, I think, will do it.
I've never heard of a cleaner putting buttons on, but I know that could be news to me.
They did put one button on one time, but I had the button.
Okay.
They might look at you and say, well, do you have the buttons? No,
That'd be a good start.
Don't have that either.
That'd be a good start.
That'd be bad. Do you have any thread? No, I don't.
Okay. Forget that idea.
I don't know if that's going to work out for you.
How about back? Did your mom have a sewing kit? My mom had a sewing kit.
Yes.
I can see it. I can see what it looked like. And then
your mom sewed?
She wasn't like a seamstress, though. Like, my grandma was one, like, made stuff, got patterns, and made clothing. My mom did not do that, but she could mend. My mom was a mender, like house menders. Same type of situation. Remember, you opened it up, and all the pins were stuck in, like, the top part. There's a place for it just to stick your pins in. There was all kinds of threads there. There was a button.
I've seen them.
If there was a button situation, she just handled it.
Oh, yes. This is going to happen. This sounds like it's going to be pretty elaborate. I got to go find three buttons that would make sense on that coat.
Could anyone mail three buttons in?
Because
the chance of Steve actually getting these buttons going, I don't see it today. Tomorrow I ask him the question, did you get to the button store? Don't see that happen.
I took those side rails off my truck and they're still in the back. I haven't taken them yet. So that's the kind of stuff. You're right. There's no doubt about it.
Along those lines, Sean in Omaha says, I feel like Sip's been talking about getting buttons on his coat for 3 years at least.
There's one button off.
Can we give the address here, Jake?
1040 O Street, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68508.
It's a pea coat. It's just black buttons.
Yes.
He pops the
collar on it when he comes in. He has the collar popped on it, and it's incredible. He comes in as if he's like an FBI agent or something.
I wonder if you can just go buy buttons somewhere.
I bet you can. I'm going to say right now.
Where would you?
I don't know.
Where would you start with that?
I'm going to say even Walmart has them. Kmart.
Buttons.
Kmart. Is there a Kmart anymore?
I think Kmart's done.
Kmart's
still shut down.
How about a Gibson's? Is there a Gibson's?
That's still shut down too.
Pliny would always use the Kmart. Like, hey, are you at your second job? Your Kmart? Are you at Kmart?
That's funny.
Yeah, funny.
You think Rollback would furnish you with a nice coat possibly?
Yes.
Your sponsor, yes.
You had a flag on
clothing
yesterday.
Sponsor. You did. That was nice.
On.
That was
Election
nice.
Day, you showed up with a flag
I
on.
Had
that
was compliments on that shirt.
That was nice.
Yesterday, throughout the day.
It was a good shirt.
We'll figure this
was
out.
Was it Keith Mann that said something to you?
No. He has.
Really?
He has on that shirt. It's funny you ask. When I first wore it to the press box, he was legit. There are times where me and Keith have legitimate conversations. This is not just wise guy stuff. He's like, that's a nice shirt.
He would notice because that's a golf shirt.
How about Keith eternally tan?
Yes.
Yeah, always.
He's always tan.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Did he always have wise guy quips to you?
He's always had quips. He's always had something. We'd always talk about. We did a lot of Seinfeld scenarios and something happened.
He likes that.
He likes that a lot.
He likes Seinfeld.
We talked about face painting a lot because I've got to support the team. And different things in Seinfeld. He talked about that. So we'd say little one-liners as we walked past each other. Never a long conversation with Keith Mann I ever had. It was never more than three minutes.
We'll have an hour conversation.
Oh, yeah. But you're in the business.
Yeah, he has a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, you were in the business.
He has a lot of thoughts. But a lot of it is, you know, when he answers the phone, it's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. You know, what could you possibly want?
You know. What are the odds that Keith or Dennis LeBlanc have ever said something out of hand? They've never said anything out of hand, ever. They're very
consummate professionals.
Thoughtful.
Hold on,
times.
Let me think about that one.
There's a chance that I say something. I know
Keith really well.
I say something out of hand probably almost daily.
This is a fact. You say stuff that's interesting. I've known Keith for probably 25 years at least, and you're right. Even in private, deep conversation, he seldom says anything untoward.
Yeah, he doesn't.
God, that's fascinating. Now, we had
people,
it out.
We can't say the same for ourselves.
No!
It's all right. We're all different.
No. Wow.
Kudos to Keith being that kind of person.
Yeah,
great guy.
Yeah, seldom. Like, if he says something, you're like, don't say that.
But he came in under the tutelage of Dennis LeBlanc. So he used to meet with Dennis because he knew Dennis would eventually be the athletic director here. And so he knew that. And so
that happened. And he signed a bunch of guys to contracts.
Two extensions. Yeah, Amy and Fred.
Premature extensions.
they happened.
Joking, Dennis.
They happened.
Yes.
It happened.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot of people want to help you out, Sip. Jane in Wahoo says that Jennifer's Sewing in Wahoo will fix your coat.
I can stop.
Make the drive to Wahoo.
Well, I'm going to Wahoo tomorrow. So.
That'd be perfect. There you go. What's the location of that?
That's Jennifer's Sewing.
We still have a
Wahoo.
Better chance to have Steve have someone send the buttons in,
yes.
And then we hire someone to come in and do it right back here. It'd be kind of fun to see someone actually doing the buttons.
Think Rudy could do that?
No, but I guarantee you McSafety could. McSafety.
Where are you, Dennis?
Dennis McSafety.
McSafety would come in and
Greg would oversee the project. Missing Tooth Greg would oversee it.
Greg could probably do it too.
Greg could do it, or he'd Google it.
Yeah, he'd Google and do it.
He would do. Greg would say we had to do it all the time when I was playing hockey. That's what he would say.
I think Greg's busy making the double bullhorn right now.
Yes,
the front and back bullhorn for Bill to walk up and down the streets.
Frank Gans had a double bullhorn.
Yeah, it's incredible. It changed the way special teams were coached.
Well, you're going to have one for yourself
And I'm on the Gans tree.
I know you are.
Yeah.
I remember that name. People refer to it.
It's all the, like I said, I liken it to the West Coast offense, that tree of people that just took off to all the success like that. And
here's one for you. Do you know, would Frank Gans, is the offensive line equivalent to Frank Gans' Harry Hiestad?
Probably somewhere in that.
You recognize that name?
That type of thing, yes.
Offensive line guy?
Yes.
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Bears. Everybody talks, Donovan always talks about Harry Hiestad like he's like a god. You know? Hiestad. I think it's Hiestad, not Hiestand. I could look it up, but I'm not sitting down. I should sit down at some point.
I think Bill Callahan gets a lot of credit for offensive line.
He does. Play. Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's one of the he's one of the conversations of all time.
All the time.
I don't know if Bill thinks of himself as like a guru. He's pretty humble. You know?
He's very humble, and also he likes to work.
Yeah.
His favorite thing to do is work.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my mom. My mom's favorite thing to do is work.
Is that right? This is one of the better idle chit-chats we've had.
My mom worked full-time until she was 78 in the hospital. 78 full-time.
Full-time?
Full-time. Yeah. You know why? Just liked to work. And she liked to go to work early so she could come home early to work more at home.
That's fascinating. And
she took a half-hour lunch, and in between lunch, she would go do she'd run an errand, come into the house, eat something ate something within 1 or 2 minutes and was out the door.
She would fit in with the Sipples.
Yes. And my dad would all the time, when the weather was bad, my dad would pick her up at noon and then bring her home for a 15-minute lunch and then drive her back.
Drive her back to work
and then go pick her back up. And if she got off at 4, whatever time it was, 4 or 4, whatever the time was, and my dad was not there, parked, ready to pick her up, not good.
Uh-oh.
Bad day. Bad day. My dad would hear it. He'd get an earful because my mom,
good.
When she was when her hour, her time was up, she wanted to get home because she wanted to do more work. She had things on her mind.
She's on the clock.
She had things she wanted to get accomplished at home. And if Ron wasn't there, there was hell to pay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it.
He would pick her up. He would park in
I love that picture of your mom.
Yeah. He'd park in the where the ambulance would park at. That's where he picked my mom up. He'd pull in there right where the ambulance would pick her up.
God, your mom and dad were striking at that wedding. Striking.
Absolutely.
Your mom was super nice to me. Super nice.
She likes you. And what does she hate? What does she hate the most? What statement does she hate the most? Shut up, Sipple. She hates that. She hates it. She goes, I don't like people saying that to Steve. She got so mad.
Ma'am, it's a joke.
No, no, that doesn't matter. She's still like, I don't like it. I don't like it. I like Steve. And she calls you Steve.
She was incredible. She was incredible during that wedding, as was your sister. So welcoming.
Tamara, very welcoming, yes. Yeah. She was the officiant.
She was amazing.
Yeah, she ran amazing. The wedding.
And you met Shindaddy there and forgot about it.
Talked to him 4 times.
Yeah.
Annoyed. Love to meet him sometimes.
You've seen him in several different encounters, actually, at this point. And
you
fun.
Could have seen him again at the wedding you skipped.
I saw him. Some controversy.
Did you ever write? You know what you can do? You can still send a present. You still like to get nice. Olivia's still like a present, so.
Olivia.
Yeah. Yes. We call her Oliver. Okay. My dad named her Oliver.
Okay.
And that's just been the name from that time on.
I'm in the window, though. I could still get it.
Yes. Yes. The window never goes away.
The window is open for years.
If I got a birthday
present
today, like, hey, Mr. Birthday, in April, like, hey, this is cool.
The wedding, there's not a wedding window.
Nope.
No, the wedding window is always open.
Are you sure it's not like 90 days?
No, there's a window of when you should send out your thank you note.
Yeah.
Like that. Olivia had her thank you notes. If people sent wedding gifts prior to, so she sent her thank you notes out prior to the wedding. Wedding thank you
she
notes
did?
Were out.
Well, yes. Really?
That's big.
Olivia is a, she's a spreadsheet person.
She is,
it's mass organization.
I know what that means. That's what Parker
buttoned
was.
Buttoned up.
Parker Gabriel was a spreadsheet. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be like, it's on the spreadsheet.
I'm like, yeah. I don't know. Me too. Yes, see my face. Imagine me and Steve is knocking out a spreadsheet. There's no chance whatsoever.
Pilled during
the
break.
The only
thing
I do to Steve is like, hey, pull up the lyrics. Yeah, rock me gently. Pull up the lyrics.
Do not go with rock me gently.
I do this. I do the signal.
Yeah,
though.
You do. Maybe we should try to do a spreadsheet.
Maybe we should try that. The same way.
I'm not even sure what it would be.
Same way this spring when they do that. What's that? Delayed filming, not delayed, but time-lapse filming of us building a deck.
That needs to happen.
We had a spreadsheet in a deck.
Deck, yes.
We could do. I just don't even know what I'd do a spreadsheet on.
I don't either. I have no idea what I would do. What would I? I don't have any. I don't have a job, so that sets me back right there. I don't work, so that which you
have. We have a spreadsheet for the show from someone in Sioux Falls for our rankings, but nothing besides that, though.
If somebody could produce that, what we had rankings week one.
She has.
Whenever we started all the way through, it would be amazing.
That's Lori in Sioux Falls.
Someone in Sioux Falls keeping a spreadsheet on us.
Yes.
You know what I'm proud to say? I don't think we've done anything embarrassing on those.
I don't think so either.
I think the spreadsheet would be fine.
Yeah. We never get the team you had at 17 we thought should be third.
No.
No, nothing like that. But
they've won.
It gets dicey. I mean, UCLA was a hard 18 for several weeks.
But we pay attention to the Big Ten.
That's what we do.
We watch
the Big Ten. That's
we are very locked in.
We're very interested in the weekly results, so it's not that hard to do the rankings.
jobs.
I told Bill this morning that I woke up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But because of a problem.
The problem.
I heard a murmur.
People were in
the living room. I said, what is happening right now?
He had guests in his house.
I was like, okay, I'm waking up.
What is going on here?
I said, I hear voices in the living room. I said, what is happening? So I said, I'm getting out of here. Maybe I'll die here in a second. I have no idea. The TV was on. Now, I will swear to you, I turned the TV off last night. And I know because we were watching something on Netflix.
Okay.
And I woke up and something was on YouTube TV. Like YouTube TV had turned itself on, apparently. When I had watched Netflix before going to bed, lights off, TV off, there's a ghost in the house. Someone walked me through that. Someone walked
me through
my TV was on a different thing I had just had. I turned it off, and it was on a program on YouTube TV at 4 in the morning.
Could Scotland have crawled out there and hit
Scotland certainly could not have crawled out. She was upstairs in the crib, and she cannot do that. No. So, concern, ghost in the house.
Do you have a,
freaked
gun?
Out.
Do you have a gun, Jake?
Easy.
Well, you can have guns. That's legal.
Oh, yeah, I have a bag of them. Now, here's this. So, it would have been more interesting if there's people in your living room.
Yes, that would have been way better.
Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me there were people.
Yeah. Let's say someone's playing. Yeah. The best was sitting there.
The best would benefit would have been the guy that Jake's had the beef with down
yeah,
there.
The football player, yeah.
Where he parked his car for 2 days in his driveway.
There was actually somebody
Dave.
In my
living room. Neighbor Dave?
Neighbor Dave's in my driveway.
I've been waiting for you to come by again, Jake, and say hello. Thank you.
How's it going with him?
Neighbor Dave? I haven't seen him since March.
Nothing. There's not going well.
It's not a fight. I just haven't seen him. I was not sleepwalking. I guarantee I was not sleepwalking. That did not happen.
Okay. 4 a.m.
I don't know what's happening here.
Were you rattled?
Rattled me a little bit. I said, am I hearing you? I hear a murmur in the living room.
At the same time, it'll be earlier in the morning than that, Jake. Would have been more in the 2:30 deal. Sugar sprang from the bed and had that just start barking and growling with that different voice. You know how dogs have a different, this one was like there's an intruder.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then she just went out and got her bone and came back to bed. Hmm. That was it. But she was something, but I like that.
Could have been an animal out there.
I never get mad at Sugar when she has the defensive bark. I always tell Laura, I go, no, this is good.
No,
it's
good for you guys.
Yeah, we want this.
And that's
this.
A big, you're blessed in that regard to have a bigger dog. I mean, that dog might scare people off.
Has a chance.
Sugar.
Bullet would not. Our old dog, Stitches.
Stitches would
scare you off.
Chance would might kill you, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's no worries about if someone came in that wasn't one of us. Oh God,
yeah, Stitches,
hell to pay.
Oh God.
Anything else? I don't chit chat at all.
Kind of wraps it up. I didn't have anybody in my house.
Well, I hope I didn't either. But
did you still?
Now, it'd be very interesting if you did.
If you did, it would be. That freaked me out. If all of a sudden they came over, all of a sudden LaRue and his wife were having coffee.
Oh, hey, Bill. Whispering.
In the house.
We didn't want to wake you up.
What
are you doing in my house?
Why are you here?
Looked like your door wasn't locked, so we just came in, and we love your house. They've been the LaRues. Imagine that.
Yeah, or if it just wasn't somebody you knew at all.
That'd be worse.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have it be someone I didn't know. I'd be more concerned if it was the LaRues.
It was immediately evident that they wanted no problems. They just wanted to watch TV.
Just here to watch TV, man. You good with that?
What if all of a sudden there was somebody in your house like, hey, listen, why are you here? Well, YouTube TV doesn't have ESPN and ABC, so we just came here to watch the game.
We're only going to be here till 8. We'll leave at 8.
We're going to watch
the promise we'll leave. Yeah. I promise I'm out of here.
We'll leave you $50.
Yes.
We'll be out of here at 8.
That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by 738 Ag.
Joey!
If you need seed, chemicals, fertilizer, or something to run the sprayer for you, 738 Ag runs the whole show. Custom application included. Learn more today at 738ag.com.
I think is it anhydrous? Anhydrous, I think, is the word. Help me out, farmers. Anhydrous.
Hey, guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think that needs to... I was talking to one of my lead consultants in ag is Ryan Beckman, president of Olson Engineering, and he also farms, and he let me know that the harvest was done, but now they had to apply some anhydrous. I think it's ammonia or some sort of
anhydrous ammonia.
Yes,
that's what it is.
So I think that's what Joey's doing today. Confirm that, Joey. But Ryan Beckman is also, he runs Olson Engineering, and he also was voted Farmer of the Year 2 years ago. And he
Farmer
said,
of the Year.
Farmer of the Year, yes.
Oh, and, what's this guy's name?
Ryan Beckman.
Ryan Beckman. Like that. He was an inside linebacker, ran the alley. He was in there with Gavin and Bolt.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
And Pender
running the alley. But yeah, so he's he's running Olson Engineering, and he also was voted number one farmer in Northeast Nebraska last year.
God.
Yeah. And so, but I go, what's going on? I always get a harvest update. And he said that they're putting down anhydrous ammonia. Farmers check in. Is that accurate?
Hey, is there an alley in 8-man?
What's that? There's still an alley. There's
so
still
Pender,
an alley.
Pender, you ran an alley. But
there's no. I didn't play 8-man, Steve. There's no 8-man. It's full 11-man C1 football at the highest level. At the highest level. And I was a safety. It's like Swigert.
They have safeties in 8-man.
Yeah. No 8-man.
Cherry bombs.
Hold it. You two yahoos know football. And you guys are making comments like that. Jake got tackled once in youth football and he quit. And you made it to fifth grade.
Got
and
the wind knocked out. I mean, the wind knocked out.
Yeah, the ball, and that ended that. I got to make sure I can get my semicolons ready to go here. I can't be hurting my fingers. I got to type later.
Hey, Cherry Bomb says you got it right there.
Did
Bill.
I?
Anhydrous ammonia.
Nice.
Ammonia.
The bomb.
Nice. Those trucks haul it around. Yeah. You see those trucks with the big thing? You
know, big tanker looking thing. Yeah.
Anhydrous ammonia.
That's going down right now.
738. Joey and Bertrand getting it done. 464-5685. Call or text the show as always. If you were in the room yesterday for Dana Holgorsen and John Butler.
Yes.
After the USC loss, looking ahead to UCLA, of course, TJ Lateef, the quarterback for Nebraska the rest of the season. What was the mood like yesterday, Steph?
The mood was fine. I'm trying to write down questions for you to make this process easier. The mood was good. It's kind of an odd time over there. I don't know how to explain it. Like they're 6-3, but there seems to be some angst. Then there's some things I don't understand, like John Butler. I want to say this correctly. Like there's a lot of like praise of John Butler. His defense is ranked 13th in the country. So that's good, right?
Very good.
Pretty good.
It's 94th against the run. You don't like that. I don't know how to size it up. I came out of that game. We'll start with Holgorsen. I just want to say something quick about Butler. Sure. I came out of that game going, God, they allowed 200 yards rushing. Not good. But they did only allow 21 points, which should be good enough to win. So I got to give him that. Holgorsen was asked a dramatic question. How much has your world changed since the injury to Dylan Raiola? It was the first question.
As to how much has your world changed?
Yeah.
There's quite a few things from Dana Holgorsen here about.
Just play the first one then.
Okay.
It was the first question. Jake, it was the first question.
Was it, were you the lead question, Steve?
No, I didn't answer. It was Sean's
Sam?
Question. It was Sean's.
Sean.
This is more about the difference between Lateef and Raiola.
I guess that would work. Sorry. Yeah, do that.
Blame
do that
Swim. One. Blame Swim titled these, so.
Swim?
Yeah, here we go.
Do that one.
He does some things probably a little better than Dylan does with his legs. We all know that. We've seen it. UCLA is going to see it. They're going to have a plan for it. But offense is still the offense, and he's expected to run it. You know, he had valuable experience earlier in the year, and, you know, I just kept calling plays. You know, whatever's on the sheet, I just kept calling plays. And then Saturday night, I just kept calling plays. You know, what he does with the ball may be a little bit different than what Dylan does with the ball, but I'm excited to see him play. You know, he's a good football player. He's a good quarterback. We got confidence. Our team is going to rally around him. I know that. You know, they did today out there at practice. It was another good Tuesday practice, and we're going to be excited about playing, and I know our team's going to rally around him. You know, my conversation with TJ is just, you know, just be yourself. Just be yourself. Just play your game. You know, he's not thrusted into a leadership point of view right now. You know, that's, you know, Dylan's still around. He's still going to be around. He's still going to be a tremendous leader that he is. And, you know, I think Coach Rule's message was spot on with, you know, everybody else needs to elevate, including me. You know, got to elevate what we're doing and let TJ worry about playing quarterback. Just what's his job. That's all. That's all he needs to worry about. And everybody needs to play, you know, to the best of their ability in order for him to be able to do that.
That is Dana Holgorsen talking about TJ Lateef. This is what he said. Now, you know, if you don't have a sound, it's fine. This was the most interesting thing he said to me, in my opinion, yesterday. He was asked if his world has changed, and he said, obviously not the first time I've been in this position. It was he cited 2017. Bill would remember this. Jake, you would remember. Maybe you wouldn't. Will Greer broke his finger in 2017 at West Virginia. Now, this is what – do you remember Will Greer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was good.
He said, people saw it on the Jumbotron. We were beating Texas, West Virginia, and the injury just took all of the air out of everything. Mm. The crowd, the players, we lost that game and didn't finish the year like we thought we would. He said, I did not feel that way one bit in this game. He said Dylan was incredible on the sidelines, but it was unfortunate. But we had momentum. We were going to score, and that game was going to end differently, and we all know that. But the reality of it is our crowd was probably better after it happened. Our players didn't flinch. He credited the defense, and he says that TJ is you know, ready, and the players have fully embraced him. So he didn't feel that balloon, the air go out of the balloon like he did at West Virginia. So the dynamic's different. And I don't know, Jake, you were in the crowd. I don't feel the crowd as much because I'm in the press box. Did the air go out of the balloon?
No, I don't think so. I mean, and Dylan was playing all right. It was 14-6 when he got hurt. It wasn't like they were losing and he was playing bad football, but I didn't feel like it was a big groan from the fan base saying, oh, here we go, game's over.
Mm-hmm.
There was belief. I mean, there's fans that believe in Lateef to be a good quarterback.
And they do.
And he's very young, obviously, at this point, so it's tough to expect him in that situation to go win the football game, but it was not a bunch of angry fans that lost hope.
And by the way, Raiola went to New York City yesterday to undergo that surgery, and I didn't talk to anybody. I don't know why he went to New York City to do it, but he did. So, and Holgorsen said three-month rehab. So there were people asking me, so is this a possibility of him being back for the bowl? No go on the bowl.
Well, if it's a three-month rehab, that timeline does not add up.
That'd be February, right?
Yeah, it'd be somewhere in February,
yeah.
I think.
So
if they move the Gator Bowl back to early March,
no,
maybe he would.
But what I'm saying is people were asking me before yesterday, and I was like, I don't think he can be. And that sealed it. No, three-month rehab. Bill, I was going to ask you this. I asked Holgorsen this. Don't coaches sometimes have – literally a couple play sheets, one for the starter, one for the backup?
Well, I would imagine, like I said, in all the places that I was, so I'm not in this building, there is some version of in the conversations, in all your quarterback meetings, probably had one Saturday morning. Okay, in this situation, these scenarios, what do you feel good about? What do you like?
Yeah.
And so you have those things, whether it be a complete separate playbook, but no, there would be certain runs, obviously, that he does or certain things they do, and they also practice it that way. They also practice it that way. When hey, these they know every single down of practice is so scripted out. So they know exactly what he ran in practice, what they have to be able to do. Because that game was, for the most part, was you know, even in the last, they got the ball back with 3-something to go.
3:27.
And so it wasn't like things were like, hey, this is this, everything's changed. It's hectic as heck. They got to stop. Nebraska stopped. And they got the ball back at roughly the ball back at the 50-yard line, basically, with a 8-point lead. And so because USC went for it, didn't get it.
Right.
So they were never out of phase. It wasn't like, and then then the game went to what? Tied. Mm-hmm. You're still in phase. So it wasn't like, hey, we got to go to some stuff here that we haven't really worked with him at all. Now, how many times has he run the last play, last couple plays of the game, maybe, because they may have needed that, because they were going to get a throw into the end zone. That was going
to
happen.
Yeah, they needed to get that to happen.
That was going to happen no matter if they would have got the first down on the tripping. But no, so he has a certain plays that he likes. Same thing, you have a menu of things, and it's well discussed. And so a lot of times you do that with your starter sometimes. Hey, we really like this. And sometimes the starter's like, I do not like that play. And so it's like you want to stay away from that, and as a play caller.
Do you want to play what Dana said about
I do,
that?
Yeah. Mm. Here's his response to your question.
Yeah. I'd say it's really never existed in my world, you know, so to speak. But, you know, but that's part of coaching. You know, I mean, we're going to take what TJ does well, and we're probably going to feature that a little bit more. You know, I mean, we're a run-first team now. Everybody sees that. You know, Emmett's playing at an all-time level in my world for what a running back's doing, you know, and our O-line is settling in on what they do well. So, you know, that aspect of it probably won't change too much, but it's all about game planning and what our players that are playing for us can do well.
Are they a run-first team?
They had what? Well, he had 29 carries against USC. Nebraska, mm-hmm. 22 pass attempts in that game?
Mm-hmm. So how
it might have changed. The numbers got a little bit different at the end of the game.
True.
Not end of the game, but when Latif came in. I don't know. They still threw it. So what the numbers are exactly. I mean, I would just say they appear to be a balanced team, I would say.
Yeah, it's interesting they said
about
that.
50-50, I would say. That.
Yeah, I don't know if they are. They haven't always been this year a run-first team. So I was struck by that. I didn't drill down on it. There's other things to talk about. But, as far as that goes, do you have any sound from Butler on UCLA? Don't worry about it if you don't.
I do. Okay. I got Butler in that. Here we go. John Butler.
They're running the ball. You know, they're really doing a really nice job running the ball. In that running game includes the quarterback as a designed runner. Also includes the quarterback as a scrambler. If you look at the Penn State game, he probably had 80 yards and critical scramble yards. He scrambles on third downs for first down. He's athletic as hell, tall, fast. You know, so, you know, they want to run the football, and you know, that's just kind of really everybody we've seen this year has been, that's kind of been their mantra. So that's what they've been doing well. I think they're averaging close to 180 yards a game rushing since they made the change at coordinator. So we're going to have to do a good job of defending the run and knowing where the quarterback is when he drops back.
Yeah, there's some confusion on that because he said the first thing they run the ball well, and then you look at their rushing offense, and they are 18th in the Big Ten. So the 18th, that's last. 124th nationally in rushing offense. But he did say since Jerry Neuheisel took over, which was the Penn State game a month ago, it was exactly a month ago, they've added 20 yards to that. So they have run it better. And isn't this largely just a Nico Amoliva discussion? Is that what this is?
Well, I know this, that when I watched UCLA, which for some reason I watched all their games to start because I was mesmerized of them losing to, I think they were down like 20-0 at one time to UNLV, but I watched all those games, and all I could think of was like, they're not running the quarterback at all.
Okay.
It was like, I mean, there was times for him to pull it and different times. There was times even in that Penn State game where I was like, oh, wow, pull it. And he didn't, but he did run it enough. But that's the difference was they finally just said, we need to run the quarterback.
That's what this is.
Yeah. So
it's largely that. Do you remember what they have at run? I mean, I haven't looked at them.
Jalen Berger was one of them. That's all I know. But like you said, they did it by committee, and they had 200 some yards rushing against Penn State. I think that was one of those games. It was a bizarro world how that thing was. Penn State was asleep at the wheel, had not recovered. Everything was bad, and then they couldn't come out of it. They tried to. They were very close to winning that game.
Yeah. So what gets your attention about UCLA? Well, first of all, so you have referenced New Mexico. New Mexico put 450 yards on him. New Mexico on UCLA.
And they ran for 296.
298. They ran for 298.
On UCLA.
Wow. But they've tightened it up a little bit. Okay, I'm sorry, we're skipping around. Butler was asked about playing well for 2.5 quarters against USC and just generally playing well was the first question, if you got it.
Yeah, you know, we prepared to play well. We felt like that really there was two drives in the game we didn't, and then we got a stop late in the game. So I don't know, I would say it was more than that. But, you know, we just didn't – we needed one more play, one more stop. There's no real consolation in playing good on defense and not winning. So the objective is to win. But obviously we knew it was a hell of a challenge, and I think our players stepped up to that.
They just – again, well, what Rule talked about, they gave up 107 yards in a six-play span in the third quarter. That hurt them. They only gave up 337. So they did the bottom line is they did their job for the most part, enough to win. What else did he say? He did talk about Javon Wright. Do you have that Javon Wright? Javon Wright's having a pretty good year quietly. I would almost say a really good year quietly. And he had 11 tackles in that game.
Don't have it. What'd he say?
Oh, crap.
I got leadership, leads position group, and encouragement from Saturday. Is it one of those ones at all?
Yeah, I'll try that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we've got very good leadership, you know, specifically in each room. Like, you've got Singleton, Buford, and obviously Sierra in the secondary room helping some of these younger players that are playing for us. You've got, you know, Javon Wright, you know, in the linebacker room kind of helping come along, you know, whether it's Shavers or whether it's Merritt playing or now Bowers playing some. You know, Javon really played really well the other night, physical, had an incredibly physical play on their lineman and knocked him out of the game legally, but that was about as physical a play as I've seen. You know, I think that leadership is, you know, they take the message of what we're trying to do, what Coach Rule is preaching, what I'm preaching, and take it into the locker room, support it. You know, we've had, you know, some significant success in certain areas that you've got to keep pounding on, and then we just got to keep working on fixing the run defense. So
Javon Wright leads the team in tackles by a long way. He has 63. Who's number two, Jake, if you get it? I don't have any money in my wallet.
Tackles in Nebraska?
Yeah. Who's number two?
I'm going to go Singleton.
Good guess.
McCullough?
McCullough. DeSean McCullough? He only has 19 tackles.
I've taken a guess. Now I'm getting shot. No. You asked me to take
Wow. You did ask to take a guess. He guessed me.
And now he's taking a shot at me.
McCullough?
What's wrong with that?
Well,
James, what's he ranked? Is he 15th on the team in tackles? Right, where's he at?
Wright has 63. McCullough has 19.
And I'm getting shot. Sorry to look closely at the box score and tackles every week. Wow. Jeez. Oh, yeah, I don't know football. As someone's
apparently.
I can't talk. I can't talk football. I can't talk football.
You can't talk ball. That's right.
I can't talk football. Can't talk football.
Singleton's third. Good guess. McCullough is just a bad guess. Right? It was just a bad guess.
But you already guessed Singleton.
I'm not attacking your person.
I was
going to
go Singleton, but Bill guessed it went somebody else.
It's Guthrie, 47.
That would have got that.
Yeah. Now he did talk something Bill would talk about. He laid it out like a defensive coach would. Why it is important that the quarterback runs. The numbers discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys all understand this. You guys are all experienced reporters, but, like, there's 11 guys out there on the field. We have 11 on defense. The second that the quarterback becomes a viable runner, the matchup's even. So what you're always trying to do then is you're trying to kind of get a half of a player towards somebody so you can get that extra half a player towards the quarterback. Because if you take your post safety out of the middle of the field and he's got the quarterback, then it turns into – you know, bombs over Baghdad, and they're just throwing the ball all over you. So you're constantly trying to manipulate, you know, that factor, that because the quarterback as a runner is an equalizer. It's an equalizer in the run game because, you know, you got all the gaps filled. When the quarterback meshes the ball, he creates another gap that you've got to then find somebody. And you look at, like, the other night, they were doing that with their quarterback, and we were bringing the corner, and he was then flipping the ball out to number one. Well, then we figured it out. We adjusted, and they did that, and Marshall jumped back and made the play. So it's a constant cat and mouse game of, you know, who's going to have the extra guy? Is it a blitz? Is it a run stunt? You know, are we going to show pressure to try to get him out of it? Are we going to, you know, so there's a lot of things you have to do, you know, and then credit to them that, you know, they really hadn't run him out in the middle of the field as much. They were pretty much a red zone run team. But the way we were taking away the running back and tackling the running back like we were, that we really gave him no option. And even on that touchdown, we had a guy there for him. He just, you know, he just didn't make the tackle. So credit to that kid for making that play.
I thought they were tackling 21 pretty well the other night, but not number 30. But anyway, that was a good – see, you could explain to Elizabeth why it's important when a quarterback runs. He's an equalizer, Elizabeth. That's why
– yeah, she's asking that question all the time.
A lot.
You could explain it to her.
Yeah, question for her.
It's been a common theme here on the show. Like I said, 11-on-11 football when the quarterback is involved in the run game. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's harder in – because you have a chance when you're defending quarterback runs – You have a chance. You can defend him. There's different ways to do it, and it's work. It's really hard, and it's a numbers game. Now, where you don't defend him as well is in the scramble, because right. That's when all of a sudden we have to play pass defense. Because I don't know UCLA's receivers, but they'll have a couple guys that can move around. I promise you, they won't be running out there. This isn't Houston Christian running out.
No,
there.
I know. I've watched.
So they'll have some guys. So it's not like, well, we're just going to play this. But so there's going to be, you know, it goes back and forth, and then. Then it changed. Well, your pass rush. Well, then it turns into a cage rush, which takes some things away from you. And so there's just some different things that come
cage
up.
Cage rush.
But you have to have, like I said, there's all those different, you know, ways to be able to do it. And then just keeping the ball, you know, off the edge, off a zone read. A lot of times you'll see, well, who has it? Well, it's going to make a step shuffle by the defensive end. And the defensive end has him, but doesn't matter because he can't tackle him. He's not good enough. A lot of times I would tell that all the time I'd be in the press box sometimes. I'd be a different place. I'm like, just pull it. And the read says give. I said, no, just pull it. The guy can't tackle the quarterback. Look at the guy that's playing the position. And he can sometimes.
He's got juking.
Yeah, not even that. Just keep it. He'll just outrun him. He won't be able to make the play. And so you have to have different ways to build it where I can dictate where the ball's going to go and when the quarterback can keep it and have some sort of it. But there is no reading the mesh because of, I'm going to see if he has it. If he does. If he gives it, then I'm going to crash. If he doesn't, it's going to be way too hard. You have to have it's wishbone football.
Football talk, Jake.
We will keep this conversation going. We got to get to break, though.
We're on break one now. Other thing. Now okay. Nebraska has a running quarterback, so it applies to Nebraska.
True. It does. Yeah. It does.
As I said in George's class last night, mm-hmm. if you have a non-running quarterback, you are playing with one arm tied behind your back.
Mm. Yeah.
You are. You have to be so much better at the run game. If you don't have quarterback run game, well, Dylan has quarterback runs. He ran the ball in the game.
Yeah,
so I'm not saying so. It wasn't like it was non-existent.
Right.
But if you have a quarterback that absolutely does not run it at all, because Nebraska ran him in the game,
like Sonny Jurgensen.
Yeah. If you have someone like that, that makes it really really hard.
Before we get to break, if you're hungry for breakfast, brunch, or lunch in downtown Lincoln, where would you send the breakers to, Bill?
The Bird.
Early Bird is
not
open
late.
Right now.
11 minutes.
19th and K with free and spacious parking. They also have wonderful pastels inside. You can have a bush light for breakfast if you want.
Anhydrous ammonia could make it in and park there. Go in, get yourself some breakfast nachos, and whip back out to a cornfield. There's space for it.
But bush light and pastels.
Bush light, pastels.
Not a bad deal.
And spreading some ammonia.
They have breakfast burritos, breakfast nachos, waffles, French toast, pancakes, and the world famous hash holes.
Hash holes.
Hash holes.
Stop by today at 19th K in Lincoln at Early Bird, open for you with free parking until 2 p.m. When we come back, an update on beer sales next.
Wow.
An early break in the ticket.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.